We continue the shiur in Gemara. Tonight's shiur, rather than to continue immediately with the Gemara we are up to, we're going to utilize this shiur as a sequel to the last one. The last shiur dealt with a topic that is so vital, it affects every person, the moment that person is born to the moment they pass this world, and to the hereafter. Topic is Tikkun HaBris. The word Bris itself, literally translated, means a treaty. There is a treaty between Hashem and the Jews, and this treaty is one which pertains to the Jews observing, carrying out the mitzvahs of the Torah. That is a treaty, and yet the word bris literally applies to the purity of a person when it comes to a person's actions in holiness, kedusha, reference to avoiding the worst, the most base of all the taivas that exist, most base of all evil desire, the illegal desire for women, taivas noshim. Now, this does not in any way degrade the value, the standard level, madrega, of a woman, because it's like speaking of the evils of money. Money itself is one of the holiest items that exist. Mumin, kesef, has the same origin as the person's neshama. It is that great, that high, that exalted. But when it comes down to the lower levels, then it becomes tainted, impure, because of the wrong type of desire, the wrong type of taiva for money. The money itself becomes sort of a root of evil. Same thing too with women. Women basically are naturally, basically meaning origin is one of kedusha, because when we speak of the Shekhinah HaKadosha, the Shekhinah itself, the spirit of Hashem, is definitely classified as nukva female. So too all women, basically those who conduct themselves properly with kedusha, are referred to as part of that Shekhinah. So too also a husband and wife who live with the proper shalom bayis, the proper mutual respect, contain within them the Shekhinah too. When we speak now about Shmiras HaBris or Chilul HaBris, we speak only of the wrong type of desire for women, one that is sinful, one that is illegal. Let's keep that in mind throughout. Now, as we said, the worst type of taiva, the ikir, the main test that a man is subjected to in life, the main purpose that a Jew has on this world, his mission, is to pass this test, not to fall victim to this evil desire, either by thought, by speech, or by action. Since this is the main test, naturally, the Satan, who is the Yetzer Hara, concentrates primarily on this one point. He seeks to trap a Jew with this. He does not have a difficult task, because by nature, every Jew is endowed, every man, rather, is endowed or cursed with a natural instinct, an animal instinct leading to this desire. It is his duty to overcome this type of desire, to purify himself, to rid himself of this Yetzer Hara, just as David HaMelech did, when he said, Libi cholol bekirbi, my heart is cholol. Cholol means it is a vacuum, it is empty. I have rid my heart of this desire, plus the fact that this living thing within me, this living spirit of evil, the Yetzer Hara, is now a cholol, meaning a corpse. I have destroyed, I have slain this evil within my heart. Now, since this is the first, strongest attack by the Yetzer Hara, by the Satan against the Jew, therefore, it is no different. And let us say, if there is a border village that stands in danger of being attacked by Arab marauders, you would expect they prepare themselves with a special type of defense. And so too, each Jew must work hard to prepare himself to discover a type of defense against this attack by the Yetzer Hara. And that is why we'll use these moments now to analyze the case, the importance of Tikkun HaBris, and the Eitzes, the advice, the solutions given by the Sfarim HaKadoshim, by the Chazal, by the Tzaddikim Amitiyim, as to how to be successful in this battle. And above all, what is most important, is that since there are very few in existence who are ever that completely successful, except for a Tzaddik Emes, Yosef HaTzaddik, but most people do fall victim to some degree, what is the means of tshuva, or what is the cure to this serious problem, one who has become a victim of this? First, we must be aware of the fact that, again, the main Yetzer Hara that exists in this world is not to lead a person into the temptation of good food or the temptation of money, even to commit crimes for money. Those two are taivas. The main taiva is the taivas b'shagel, taivas chilul habris, and this is the war, the battle that a person must go through during his entire lifetime. The Sefer Chassidim says, do not think that this battle refers only to men. This is a battle which women must undergo too. The Gemara says that there were women, Noshim Tzidkoniyos, who strived all their lives in tefillah, very powerful tefillahs, praying to Hashem that they be spared ever being instrumental in having any man be led to temptation or sin on their part. The Sefer Chassidim goes further and says that women too must be mispalel and must guard themselves lest they not only be the ones to lead men into sin, but they too might fall into sin also. This can happen. So that the union of Tikkun HaBris applies to both alike. Now, in the case, of course, again, much more so in the case of men. And that is why this battle begins from the time of birth. This is the reason for the very first mitzvah being, for a man, being the Bris Milah. After 7 days of life on earth, which means that he has covered the cycle of time. Time is divided into seven days of the week, where he has already experienced life on the Shabbos. In all cases, no matter what day he's born on, the eighth day he is circumcised, the Bris Milah, whereby the Kedusha is a result of removing the Orla. The Orla is that tumah. The word Orla, that tumah that is removed, which stands for the Goy. The Goyim are called Arelim, and this Goy, meaning the worst degree of tumah, is removed. This is the beginning of his life. That means that he is given the opportunity to begin with a start, with a purity of no doing of his own, but he's already recognized as one who has the Kedusha of the Bris. It is his duty from now on to continue life and to maintain this level of Kedusha. Now, in this battle, this is a war, a lifetime war. At no time can a person be certain of vanquishing the enemy, of being victorious until the last moment of his life, because the Satan bides his time. If he cannot get a person, if he cannot victimize him at a young age, he waits till middle age. If he cannot get him, then he waits till older age. But the Satan will never relax, and therefore it's up to a person never to relax either. We find cases in the Gemara where the greatest of the Tanoim, the holiest Tanoim, were subjected to these tests. The Satan bent every effort in trying to ensnare and trap these great Tanoim. Tanoim as great as the leading ones, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Meir too. So what does the Satan use? What does he use to lure a person? The Gemara says the agents of the Satan are the eyes and heart of a person. The Satan presents a sight that is tempting. The eyes of the person see this, the heart desires, and the rest of the organs of the body complete the action, chas v'shalom, commit the sin. Therefore, the first step on the part of a person to guard himself against chilul habris is shmidas ha'inayim. Make sure that he does not look where he's not supposed to. A person should not feel that there's no danger in just looking. Put up a sign, I'm only looking. Only looking is the first step to defeat, the chas v'shalom, to the calamity of falling victim to this desire all the way. To the heart, how is the heart affected? The heart desires. And the means by which the heart becomes the victim, becomes the slave rather than the master, is by injecting gaiva into the heart. Through gaiva, a person falls into this evil desire. Now, the Abinazal told a story to illustrate this, thinking of how important the eyes are as an agent of sin. Abinazal told of an actual case. Two cases, but one of them referred to our topic. The time of the Baal Shem Tov, there lived a man who was a very talented musician. He played an instrument that was very much desired for weddings. One thing, though, he was blind, a blind musician. And yet, his musical ability was of such caliber that he was called upon to play at every possible wedding. Weddings, that very large weddings, some were very orthodox, very religious, and some were not so. In other words, most were tznis, modest type of dress in weddings. Some were, of course, pritzus, where women were not that religious, they did not come dressed properly. It made no difference, though, because he was blind. And so, for years, he played at these weddings until he became old, and one day he passed away. After his passing, it was revealed to all that this musician was not blind at all. He posed as a blind person, wearing dark glasses, covering for his eyes, where he could see nothing. He lived as a blind man throughout in order to avoid the possibility of looking, seeing that which might tempt him and lead him to a thought, just the thought of sin, and perhaps further. The second case was another person at that time who was very wealthy but who gave no tzedakah at all. He was looked down upon, despised by all. And in that same city, there was a person who was a very great Baal Tzedakah, who would give tzedakah to every poor person that approached him. When this wealthy miser died, the great Baal Tzedakah stopped distributing tzedakah. And he explained that the reason was he had no money of his own. The money he received from this miser, so-called miser, who forbade him to reveal the origin of his wealth. The reason was that he wanted to give stucco all his life, to give a lot of it, large sums, but at no time to do it with a selfish motive, looking for coverage for his own honor. And that is why he lived a life of disgrace while performing a mitzvah that was so great. The Baal Shem Tov said, we have these two people. Which one of the two is greater? One lived a life as a blind person. He was forced to keep his eyes closed, covered. He could not see at all throughout his lifetime. He could never reveal the fact that his eyes were normal. The second lived a life of shame, disgrace. He was spat upon. Both of these were pure tzaddikim. Which one is greater? Baal Shem Tov said they're both on the same level. Ashrei lahem, but what they were zecha to in Olam Haba. But we see that the means of combating this temptation, this taiva, this base and basic taiva, was by blocking the eyes from seeing that which is wrong, thereby remaining pure throughout. And as the Baal Shem Tov testified, this person was a tzaddik. Now, since the main test, the main taiva, the person in this world is this taiva, then naturally the baldava, the satan, the yitzhara, attacks a person in a very tricky manner. He uses special schemes, wiles to ensnare a person. The person naturally is on guard if he is really religious, if he really respects the mitzvahs of the Torah. He'll be careful to avoid any type of sin, even this one too. After all, a person is born with willpower. A person is born with the ability to overcome these evil desires. A person is born with the Yetzer Tov too, especially if he has knowledge of Torah, knowledge of the importance of mitzvahs, a respect that a ched is for Hashem and his mitzvahs. Now, one of the basic tricks that the satan uses is to cover the act of sin with a false covering, with a pretense that it is something good or a mitzvah. The person who commits this sin is given to feel that there really is not much wrong being done. Because look around, it's so common, all this permissiveness existing today. What is a small little act compared to the serious things that go on today? This is the way the satan tries to belie the issue and thereby draw a person into feeling that there's nothing wrong in doing this so-called sin. For example, you find the case, the true interpretation of the dreams of Paray. Case of the dreams of Paray. Paray dreamt that the seven lean cows swallowed the seven heavy cows. Heavy cows represents those of purity. Lean cows, the hungry cows, are the evil, the villainous type of temptations. The Satan, his cohorts, Malachi Chabolah, the evil angels who lead a person to sin. Now, these thin cows cover, they swallow up the heavy cows, and the result is, not only they swallow them, but there's no sign of them whatsoever. You don't see the thin ones change. It is as though there was nothing there at all. So this is the act of the Satan, where he covers the good with evil. You can't even recognize that the good has been eradicated, has been erased. What is the solution to this type of attack? The Torah tells us the tikkun to this is through Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik was called Ben Peiros Yosef. Yosef Peiros means the son of beauty, one of true spiritual beauty. And his beauty was that he was, the word Peidos is also the letters Poser. He interpreted the dream of the same letters Poros. And Peidos Yosef was Perser, the Chalem of the Poros. What did he say the solution is? Receive shever b'mitzrayim. Shever means food, to combat the famine. Mitzrayim, shever b'mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is always referred to as Meitzar. Min ha-Meitzar karosiko. Meitzar means those places where there is a tzora, where there is a difficulty, where there is very little room for the neshama to breathe. Cure, why does the neshama have difficulty in living and existing? Because of the pressure of these sins. The neshama is very delicate. The neshama cannot tolerate a sin, especially the worst type of all sins, chilah bris. So the solution for that is, in the case of this Mitzrayim, the shever means to break, the shabet, to break open the lev ha'evan, the heart of stone. How do you break a heart of stone? A broken heart is through tears. Turn to Hashem and cry out in a voice of desperation. You must have assistance from heaven to help you to battle the Satan, who is practically all-powerful. You must cry out just as a woman giving birth. The 70 cries, the Shivan Kailis of a Yeledis, these 70 screams are represented in the Tefillah Olam Netzeach, Yancha Hashem B'Yom Tzora. 70 words in that tefillah representing this, and this is the birth of a new neshama. New meaning a pure neshama, where the neshama becomes cleansed of the stains brought about by chilul habris, and it can become purified only through these 70 screams, just as the yeledis screams in order to give birth, so too, screaming to Hashem, crying out to Hashem, invoking the kindness, the compassion, the pity, the mercy of Hashem to assist the person in defeating this Satan who is trying to literally throttle the life of the neshama. Now, if a person really wants to serve Hashem, then he must work specifically, put all his efforts into breaking this evil desire, this taiva. Put everything else aside, no matter how weak he is in religion and all else, if he can strengthen himself and win out on this one point, then he can be assured, guaranteed, that once he has won out on this, he has achieved the title of tzaddik, every other evil desire will fall by the wayside without much effort. Because all is based upon this one taiva especially. Vedazar brings that there are basically 70 nations on earth. Aside from the one nation of Jews, there are 70 nations. Every one of these 70 nations is represented by a certain type of evil. One nation's evil is stealing. Another nation's evil is murder. The third nation's evil is slander, and so on. But if you take all 70 nations and combine them, you then have what is known as a roaring inferno, a tremendous fire, flames that shoot skywards. What are these flames? What is this inferno? This is the combination of all 70 evils combined into one, and that is this one taiva, which contains all of them. This is called a kloli, the kolel, all-encompassing taiva that covers all these 70 evils combined. And this is what creates, too, one of the fires of Gehenna. Fires of Gehenna, the Zayin HaKodesh says, come through the fire on earth, the fiery desire within a person's heart, and they create the fires there. So that a person who can overcome this fire, who can defeat this desire, win out against it, will automatically destroy the evil of all these 70 nations and every type of taiva, every type of midah ra, evil characteristic, can become purified through just winning out in this one battle. Now, again, what should a person do if he is attacked? The best teacher we have in this is the Tzaddik Emes. There's only one person who's called Tzaddik. We have great Tzaddikim of the past, Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. They were not known as Abraham HaTzaddik, Yitzhak HaTzaddik, Yaakov HaTzaddik. They were known as Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov Avinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was not known as Moshe HaTzaddik. He was known as Moshe Rabbeinu. Aaron HaKohen, David HaMelech, all great Tzaddikim. Yet not one achieved the title, the everlasting title of Tzaddik, except Yosef HaTzaddik. Because the word Tzaddik applies only to one who goes through that test, that many soyon, and is victorious. And therefore, in order to understand the best means of coming out victorious in this test, of winning the battle, see what methods Yosef HaTzaddik used. He was attacked by the wife of Potiphar. He knew the best method was to look ahead to the future, that there is a day of judgment to come for every person's action. And why wait for then? Judge yourself right now in the present. And that's what Yosef HaTzaddik did. He judged himself. He acted as his own judge, and his claim was, in order to stop this test right there, to win out, to block it, he said, Ech ese oro hazois. How can I commit this evil, v'chatosi lelekim? This means that I will sin against Hashem. With a claim like that, he said, this would be the result of my action, and therefore, he said, I will not do it. He was determined with this action. This is called mishpat. A person, the judge, to put himself on trial, this is how he won out. This is one point. A person can win the battle through mishpat. The second point is through simcha. Because the one item that can lead a person to sin, especially that kind of sin, to fall into taivas, the person's self-control becomes weak, is through atzvus. The person becomes sad, the person becomes depressed, the person feels forlorn, he loses hope, and he lets himself go and falls into all these wrong type of taivas as a means of consolation. The best way to combat that is to maintain a steady feeling of inner, true, sincere simcha. There's a lot for a Jew to be happy about, to be a simcha about, especially if he knows that he is the one chosen to do battle against this ultimate dragon, this killer of mankind, the Satan himself. This should be a simcha in itself. Hashem has appointed him to be the one on the side of Kedusha. So with this simcha in his heart, and with this simcha, this feeling of gratification, of thanks to Hashem, maintaining this policy of simcha, he can overcome the atzvus, and hence overcome these taivas too. Now if, of course, is not the word, since most people do fall victim, some more and some less, at least to bad thoughts, some worse than that, and even the smallest, the tiniest thought about this taiva is poisonous to the neshama. Smallest hirhur. Hirhur means a thought, just to allow this thought to remain in a person's mind for a moment is bad, poisonous to the neshama. Person fell victim to thought, or even if he fell victim to further than that, to action, or even the Torah says if a person fell victim completely, it became a habit of his. He went into the worst type of sin, the worst type of chil abris. He committed these sins constantly. The Gemara brings the cases of people who had committed sins, actually illicit relations, throughout their lifetime. The Gemara says this does not mean that they have lost all hope, that they are gone, because the door to tshuva is always open as long as there remains a breath within a person's body, one breath left, he can do tshuva with that one last breath, and it will be accepted. So if a person was chas v'shalom trapped into committing a sin, sin or sins, no matter how many, he wants to do tshuva, and his tshuva consists of proving that he is sincere. His first requirement is that when the thought comes to him, the thought of evil, he must battle this thought. Don't allow the thought to settle in your mind. Close your mind to it. It is simple. The Benedict says the simple method is the knowledge that it is physically, mentally impossible for any person to ever have two thoughts in his mind at the same time. This cannot happen. This cannot be. So in order to avoid the thought of evil, simply think of anything else will automatically drive out the other thought. If a person is stricken with this disease, a diseased mind where the thought keeps coming back, then acquire a habit of thinking about a certain item. Best thing, of course, is an item of Torah or a mathematical problem, something which requires concentration where you cannot think of two things. And do this for a while. The longer you do it, the more you weaken the Yetzer Hara and the Satan, and after a while he will actually leave you and seek an opening elsewhere. It takes a little battle in the beginning, depending upon how deeply steeped the person was in these bad thoughts. The person that committed worse sins, his final proof of tshuva is that when the opportunity comes up to repeat the sin, the person proves himself by being strong and staunchly keeping his position and not allowing this action to take place. Depends upon where where the test takes place, but the test is something where he's given the opportunity to repeat a former type of sin. He does not do so. This is proof of his sincere tshuva. The main tikkun, the main weapon against this chil habris, and the main tikkun against the sin itself, which has been done, is what is known as Lashon Kodesh. Lashon Kodesh means the holy language, which at first would seem to be Hebrew, the language of the Torah. Lashon Kodesh means words of holiness, which means tefillah, crying out to Hashem, known as Hispedidus, private discussion with Hashem. Besides the regular tefillah, Shachris, Mincha, Marev, Tehillim, and so on, the person is supposed to have Hispedidus, where he encloses himself private quarters, and there pours out his heart to Hashem as he would to a very trustworthy, loyal friend. Pour out your heart, express yourself, express your problem to Hashem, and ask Hashem to help. If this tefillah is very sincere, this could be not necessarily in Hebrew. It could be in any language. It could be in English or whatever language a person speaks best. Because this must be in a language that flows freely from a person. If those words are holy, seeking Kedusha, holiness from Hashem, this is Lashon Kodesh. In that case, English becomes Lashon Kodesh. And this tefillah is the key to Kedusha. Lashon Kodesh will destroy, this Kodesh will destroy the tumor of the Yetzer Hara, the tumor of Chil Habris. This is one item. The second item in Lashon Kodesh is the study of Torah, which is the greatest asset in helping to purify a person's mind. And that is why the word Bris is one letter above the word Torah. Torah is 611. The word Bris is bigimetria, numerically 612. Above Bris you have 613 mitzvahs. So that Bris is the bridge between Torah and 613 mitzvahs. Bris is that which combines them. Of course, there are 613 mitzvahs in the Torah itself. as we explained once, the Gemara says that Torah 611 mitzvahs taught to us by Moshe Rabbeinu, two mitzvahs, Emunah, first two of the Ten Commandments were given to us by Hashem directly at Har Sinai, not through Moshe Rabbeinu. Bris is so important that Bris with the Kollel is Begimetria 613, which means that Bris, Tikkun HaBris, is equal to obeying every single mitzvah of the Torah, including those two mitzvahs that Hashem gave us. So that the study of Torah can automatically help a person to purify himself in this. Now, above all, Tefillah, Torah, Tshuva, these battles upon the part of a person are good. But in most cases, a person is very weak. A person who has gone through a siege, a sickness, is very, very poor health, and is not fit to go out into battle. A person who is very ill can't stand up in battle and fight as a warrior. He must have assistance. One who has committed sins, especially this type of sin, his neshama is very weak, and himself he would probably be, it would be a futile attempt to do battle against the mighty Satan. Therefore there is one Eitzah, one solution that is infallible. If he would attach himself in true faith, in true emunah, to the Tzaddik Emes, then it would be the Tzaddik Emes doing battle for him. A person who has emunah shlema in the Tzaddik Emes can be assured the Tzaddik Emes will take his port tefillos, will perfect them, will bring them up to heaven where they will have the desired effect. Tzaddik Emes will take his study, his words of Torah, will polish them, purify them, will elevate them, that they will penetrate through the heavens to the Kisei HaKavod. And this, the Benedict says, is the same as a person who has fallen to what seems to be a certain fatal depth in a deep pit. A pit that is so deep, it's falling down to that pit means certain death. There is no way out whatsoever. Now, no matter how far he has fallen, if there is a rope around his waist and above the top of the pit there is a gibor, powerful person, holding onto that rope, no matter how far down he descends in that pit, he is still safe. The person on top, the gibor, the powerful, will pull him up, will rescue him from this pit. This rope tied to him, this kesher, is binding himself to the Tzaddik Emes above. This is the kesher of emunah. The emunah of the Tzaddik Emes, he's bound to the Tzaddik Emes. No matter how he may fall, into what depth of sin, chas v'sholom, the Tzaddik Emes will always be there to rescue him, to assist him, to aid him. With this emunah of the Tzaddik Emes, he'll arrive at a feeling of busha, of embarrassment, of a desire to come back, a broken heart, where his tefillah will come out with a bitterness, a deep feeling of regret over what he had done. It will be zecher that his tefillah will be accepted, he'll be saved, will be brought back to true Kedusha. Above all is the point that a person, as Abinazel said, the strongest statement and the strongest voice, he said, above all, know that there is no yiyush Ba'olam Klal. No such thing as a Jew ever, ever giving up hope, chas v'sholom. As long as a Jew is alive, his hope must burn eternally bright. But in his heart, the hope and the knowledge that he can turn back to Hashem. If he has spent years in sin, steeped in sin, descending further and further into the lowest depths of tumah, and it took him years to get down that far, know that the way back does not have to take years. He can return in a matter of seconds. What took you years to descend to, can take you only seconds to return. Turn around. Go back to Hashem and say, I'm coming back. I want to come back. I want to erase the entire past. Say those words and you'll find Kaviyachol, the hand of Hashem himself, reaching out to save you and to draw you back. Atah nosein yad lapashim. We say to Hashem, you extend the hand of help, assistance to the lowest type of sinner. Hoshim nat chotim. It's not a sinner by accident, not a sinner deliberate. Hoshea is a spiteful type of sinner. Even that type too, Hashem extends the hand of assistance to. So the most important thing that a person should know is that there's no such thing as giving up hope. To feel certain that Hashem wants you back, no matter what you have done, you are as important to Hashem as the biggest tzaddik in existence. The hashkocha prati for the lowest type of rosha is just as strong as for the biggest tzaddik. The value of a bal tshuva, the eyes of Hashem, one who has done the worst sins, committed the worst acts, and turns back to Hashem with sincerity, that person's value is equal to that of the greatest tzaddik alive. So at no time is there any yiyush chas v'sholom. At all time there should be this hope, and this kind of tikva is what's meant by the tikkun hakloli. The all-encompassing tikkun for a neshama is that tikva, that hope, that emuna that a person should live with throughout his entire life. With this emuna, a person can be sure of ultimate victory in this lifelong struggle and battle against the Satan, against the Satan's wiles, schemes and tricks. A person can be sure of crossing the bridge. This world, Rabbeinu Zal said, is a very narrow bridge. Very narrow. It's very dangerous. A person can easily slip and fall. There are many victims that are lying on the wayside. Those victims are due to one reason, because those people were filled with fear. They were afraid. They lost hope. A person knows there's no yish at all. The ikka, the main thing, is shilafachit klal, not to have any fear whatsoever, because Hashem will take you back, cross that bridge with certainty, with a positive knowledge that Hashem is with you, by you at all times. And with that desire for tshuva, to turn back to Hashem, Hashem will accept you. You will end. You will come to the ultimate goal with true victory and true success. We should be zechut to purify ourselves in this mitzvah, which is so all-important. The inyan of Tikkun HaBris, we were blessed with the Tikkun HaKloli. This is a very vital bit of information too. Tzaddikim throughout all generations have strived hard to find the solution, the special chapters of Tehillim, special formula, 10 chapters, which are a tikkun for this type of sin. And throughout all generations they strive, they sought this special formula until Rabbeinu Zal came forth. He was zecher to find, to discover this formula. It was written up in the Tikkun HaKloli, the 10 chapters of Tehillim, and Rabbeinu Zal said, guaranteed, the person who says these 10 chapters is assured of erasing the past chilul. It is up to him, though, that from then on he sees that he guards himself against any repetition, chas v'sholom, of these bad thoughts that could lead to this type of sin. The Tikkun HaKloli is a tefillah of 10 chapters of Tehillim, which every person can say and should say constantly, to keep as a means of purifying his neshama. Again, this too is totally is dependent upon the extent of emuna and faith a person has in the tzaddik emes, because the ikka, the yisoid, the foundation of the mitzvahs in the Torah is emuna. The Gemara says that they tried, the tzaddikim try to find a compact form. How do you put all mitzvahs into one single capsule? They strove for it until one Chabaka came and said, all mitzvahs of the Torah could be put into one single compact form, one capsule, and that is Emunah. Emunah contains all 613 mitzvahs. Emunah is the key to them. So with this Emunah and the Tzadik Emes, with this true Emunah, we can be sure the Zechet to the close Kesher that will lead us from the abysmal depths of Tumah, the highest levels of Kedusha that are everlasting. Which means Zechet to this Emunah, and through this Emunah, Tavoyi Tashuri Reish Emunah. That through Emunah, the Jews will be Zechet to see the Geula Shleima. With our eyes, we shall see the coming of Mashiach, the downfall and destruction of all the enemies of the Jews, the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, which is totally, purely in Tikkun HaBris, and the Geula Shleima Meheira, Amen V'Amen.
Amen.